I'm thankful that you found your place here in the Lord's house. And pray tonight that, as our prayer has been since this meeting has been approaching, that God's people would be revived and that lost sinners would be saved. And that's what I desire. And I believe the Lord's working on that effort if we continue to keep working and laboring. And I want to encourage you tonight, as we say oftentimes, that this altar is always open. And this altar holds no virtue in it. That means it holds no power. It cannot save you. But it's a good place to come and seek God. I was saved on an altar, but I'm thankful that you can be saved anywhere. Anywhere that you've got to make the altar in your heart. And you've got to cry out to God wherever you are. And He'll save you there. And I'm thankful for that. I need your prayers tonight. That the Lord would help me. And I've had a good thought, and it's a simple thought. And I had been praying that God would help me to bring it together. And seems like I've had bits and pieces for the last 3 or 4 days that He's given me this thought. And so, if you would, and you have your Bibles, you'd like to read along. And we appreciate Brother Chris and him following the Lord last night. But tonight's a new night. And let's focus on His leadership. Numbers, book of Numbers in the 35th chapter. Book of Numbers in the 35th chapter. And our thought tonight, I guess if we had to title this message, would be Jesus, our refuge. Our refuge. And I want to take up our reading tonight here about the 10th verse of the 35th chapter. And it says this concerning the Lord speaking unto Moses. And He said, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan unto the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint unto you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And these cities which ye shall give, 6 cities, shall have refuge. And ye shall give 3 cities on this side of Jordan, and the 3 cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. And these 6 cities shall be refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither." Now, moving on over here into this, further on verses about the 26th verse, it says, "But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, the avenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of refuge, and the revenger of blood shall kill the slayer, and he shall be guilty of blood, because he should have remained the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return unto the land of his possession." Now, I want to stop there for just a moment. And I want to tonight try to break some of this down, and I want to bring it out just as simple as I can. But we find here that the Lord had appointed 6 cities of refuge. And I've heard different people that have preached on this concerning towards the church. And I've also heard it brought forth unto these cities of refuge being a representative or a metaphor, if you will, for the Lord Jesus. And tonight, I kindly feel pressed in that, as I told you, Jesus is our refuge. Now, when you think about these 6 cities, I want you to think about what's being said here. And And basically, years ago and even some today, people had the mentality that if one of their kindred was killed and or in a sense murdered, if you will, that there would be an avenger of that blood that would come and slay the one that killed their kindred. And there's even some that are associated with that today. But in reference, you'll find that that's kind of what these scriptures are talking about here. And so you'll see here that God had appointed six cities of refuge. And that is very important tonight as we begin to think about these things, that there were three cities on the eastern side of Jordan and there were three cities on the western side of Jordan. And these cities were located in a way that a man might be able to reach one of these cities in a half a day's journey, according to some things that I've read. But they were close enough that you could get there if you needed to. And a lot of times you'll find that, now I'll say this, for those that had murdered somebody intentionally to cause harm out of malice, they were not to be given refuge. But those that had unintentionally, by accident, if you will, there's an example that we read about in the Scripture as far as those that maybe is out cutting wood and handling an axe, and the axe head comes off and kills someone accidentally. There would still be an avenger that would be after them, and they might seek that refuge of that city. And my friend, I want you to know tonight that if I don't get anything else out to you, that Jesus Christ is our refuge. And so you'll find here that, and I want to, as a metaphor, and this is going to sound different, but I want to tonight maybe to think about this avenger of blood as the law of God. And I want you to know tonight, and I've heard it talked about in a sense that this avenger is death. But I want you to know that we'll try to bring some of those things out just here shortly, but do pray for us. But I want you to know here tonight that as I begin to think about some of these things, there's a lot of people with a mentality today and has been all through generations that they are a good person. And they live a good moral life, and they don't understand why that God would bring judgment upon them. They have a hard time understanding, getting themselves out of the way and all of their self-righteousness out of the way to see that they're a sinner and that they stand in need of God. And my friend, tonight I want you to know that you might be able to outrun a lot of things, but there's one thing that you will not outrun, and you will not outrun God. You won't outrun Him. There's a whole lot of people in the world today that are running from God. But my friend, you will not outrun Him. There's a lot of people that are running from God. And my friend, I would declare, instead of running from God, that you need to run to God. You need to run as fast as you can. Because, my friend, death is on your heels. And it is seeking to destroy you. It doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care what family you're from. It doesn't care about what material things you own in this life. But, my friend, death is seeking you out. And it's been seeking you out from the moment that you was conceived. It's been seeking to destroy you from the very moment that you was conceived. Now, we'll find here once again as we begin to think about some of these things, and I want you to know that, as I said, that there's a lot of people that have this mentality of what it is to be guilty. And I want you to think about what Jesus said. He told those that believe are not condemned, but for those that don't believe, they're condemned already. And I want you to think about what that's talking about being condemned. My friend, you are condemned to die. You are a sinner. And my friend, I want you to know that that condemnation has passed upon all of mankind. I want you to know tonight that it's not because of, I think a lot of times people have this mentality, as I said before, that I'm a pretty good person or I've lived a pretty good life. But my friend, it has nothing to do with how good a person you are. It has nothing to do with what kind of life in that aspect that you're living. But I want you to know it has to do with that you are a sinner born into this world. And that you stand in need of salvation that only God can give. Now, I was thinking about over here, what are you guilty of? That's what that condemnation is talking about. What are you guilty of? You're guilty of the law of God. What am I talking about? God had commanded Adam. And I want you to imagine as he placed Adam in that garden, I want you to think about as he was there in the presence of God and he was in fellowship with God. And things were wonderful. And I don't know how long that he was in fellowship with God at that time, but it was wonderful. He was there in the presence of God. And God had commanded him. He said of every tree, he said you may eat a stuff, but he said of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, as soon as you eat it, you shall die. And Adam knew that. God had told him. He had instructed him. He knew what the law was. He understood what the law was. But yet Satan got in the mix and the matter of things. And he ended up taking and eating of that fruit which God had told him not to eat. And when he ate of it, he told him that he should surely die. Now listen, because of that sin, it passed upon all of mankind. Passed upon every one of us. I've heard people say, Brother Casey, I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice being born into this life. Well, neither did I. But I'm thankful that God made a way. I'm thankful that God provided. I'm thankful that God could see out long before that I ever come around, that God knew that there would be a little boy that was going to need a Savior. I'm thankful that God could look out way beyond anything that I could imagine and know that we would need a Savior. There's a whole lot of people today that want to have excuses. But the Scripture tells us, I don't want to misquote anything tonight, and I'm going to take my time. Y'all just have to bear with me. I'll try to get hooked up here shortly. Paul said this. He said, because that which may be known unto God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And my friend, there's a whole lot of people today that want to have excuses, but I want you to know that there won't be any excuse for you. My friend, when you stand before the presence of God, and let me tell you today, that you will stand before God and you'll give an account and you'll have to tell Him. You won't have to tell me, but you'll have to tell Him why you didn't repent. You'll have to tell Him why you didn't trust in Him. You won't have to tell me, but you'll have to tell God. And you'll be without excuse. Without excuse. So here it is, you're guilty, guilty of the law of God. And you know who else is guilty? I'm guilty. Everybody in the world is guilty. Everybody in this room is guilty. Every single one of us is guilty. But God has made a way. Now, I was thinking about this, and I know all of us are familiar with a lot of these things tonight, but I told you I want to try to bring this out in a way that you might understand. I was thinking about Isaiah over here in this 53rd chapter. I want you to understand here what Isaiah's saying. His fourth verse, he says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He has bruised our iniquities, and his chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." And my friend, I want you to know, and we'll get to some of that later, all the iniquity of us all was laid upon him. We as sheep have all gone astray. We've all gone our own way. I know tonight that within a self-righteous part of us, we want to try to please God. But my friend, you cannot please God in this flesh. It's impossible tonight. You can't do it. You can't praise Him. You can't sing. You can't do anything tonight in this flesh. You can't do it. It's impossible. What happens to us when we're saved, when we're born again? We're born of God, of the Spirit. There's something spiritual that goes on in here that I can't explain to you. But my friend, it's real. Now, as soon as one of these manslayers, if you will, as soon as he had committed this crime, he was to make haste. He was to be on the move, because he knew that word was going to get out, that the man that he slayed, that his kindred was going to know, and that he would be upon his heels and he would be after him. And my friend, I want you to know tonight that, I don't know how it is for you, but listen, that's how it was for me when I was lost and separated from God. And I'll get into more of that in a minute, but when I became lost, it was the Word of God that pricked my heart. My friend, I didn't know that I was a sinner until the Word of God pricked my heart. And I'm thankful tonight for the Word of God. It's telling me, it's showing me that I'm a sinner and I need the Lord Jesus. It showed me. I come into church one night and I was just as fine as I could be. And my friend, that preacher got to preaching, bless his heart, and it opened up my heart, and I knew that I was lost. You know how many people had to tell me that I was lost, Brother Chris? Not one person. But do you know who told me I was lost? God Almighty. Do you know how He told me I was? Through His Word and through His Spirit. My friend, He let me know that I was separated from Him. Listen, the law of God is pursuing you right now. He's pursuing you. And my friend, the law, He's trying to open, God's Word is trying to open your eyes. And He's trying to see. There's not a soul here tonight that can keep the Word of God. Listen, I don't remember how many laws that was given. I think it was over 600 and something laws that was given. And none of them could keep it but the Lord Jesus. And He kept every single one of them. I can't keep a narrow one of them, but He kept every one of them. Every jot and every tittle. Every single one of them. I can't even keep one. You're born into this nature. And there's nothing tonight that you can do on your own to get out of it. They was to make their way to that city. This was a priestly city. A city of Levites, if you will. The high priest was there. I want you to know tonight that they didn't have to just make it all the way into the city, but if they made it just into the border, they would be safe. I've heard it read through different commentaries that, even in the Scripture tells us that they was to go out and to clear the highways. They was to go out and it said prepare the way. And my friend, they was to go out and clean the highways out and get the roads in shape that every river might be bridged, that every road might be leveled, that every obstruction that was in a way that it might be removed. And church, that's what we're doing here tonight. We're removing every obstruction out of the way. There were signs that was posted along the road that was saying refuge, 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 because they was fleeing. They was on the move. Listen, the avenger was on their heels. Listen to me tonight. It concerns me that I'm more concerned about your soul than you are. I'm concerned about you. You're dead. And the only one that can save you is Jesus. I can't save you. I can't help you. I want to do it, but Jesus has to. It concerns me that you're not concerned about your own soul. Do you not understand in here? I'm concerned about you dying and spending eternity in devil's hell. I'm concerned about your soul, and this church is too. And my friend, if I was lost, I'd make a move towards God. I don't know your heart tonight. Tonight may be the very first night you become lost. But if it is, don't run from the Lord. Run to Him. There's signs. Listen to me, church. Hold up the sign. It says refuge, refuge. Point them to Jesus. Tell them about the one that can save them. Tell them about the one. Tell them about the one that can redeem them. Keep lifting the banner up. Lift it up high. Tell the world about Him. He's refuge. In a world that seems like destruction all around me, He's the refuge of my soul. You not understand tonight. You don't have to wait on an altar call. You can make a move towards God right now. And if He's knocking on your heart, I'm telling you that's where you need to go. Once they made it to that city, they were safe. They weren't safe because the city was barred up. They weren't safe because there was a guard standing outside, but they were safe because that's what God declared they would be. And listen to me. That's what God's Word declares to me, is that I'm safe in His hands. I'm resting in Him. I'm safe because that's what Jesus says that I am. I'm not safe because I think I am, but I'm safe, thank you, Lord, because that's what He says. I'm safe because I'm trusting in the Lord's promises. I'm thankful tonight that I'm not living upon my own self-righteousness, but I'm thankful tonight that I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus. Listen, You're dying. I'm dying. Every moment of every second could be the last breath that I draw. Listen to me, lost friend. It's real. Heaven's real. I'm thankful that I've got a heaven to go to, but I want you to know that there's a place called hell, and that's what I'm trying to warn you about tonight. The avenger of God is on your heels. And you may outrun him, but my friend, you won't outrun God. I was thinking tonight what Paul said. Listen. Paul said, very familiar, he said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. The wages of sin. That word wages means the cost. Oh, there's a great cost of sin. A great cost. I feel bad for Braxton sometimes, being a preacher's daddy. A lot of times I use him as illustrations. One of the greatest joys of my life is being a daddy. I mean, that's one of the greatest blessings of my life. First time I ever held that little fella in my hands, I could just stop. God, you're so good to me. You know something? He started to die the moment he was conceived. Braxton's always been my sidekick. Just about anywhere I went on that farm, he was right beside me. Me and him, I had always had a good relationship. And I remember the first time he told me a lie. It broke my heart. I think we can all sit here tonight and be honest and say we've all lied, haven't we? And I thought, well, surely my little boy wouldn't lie. That's Daddy's little boy. And then it hit me. He come from you. He's of your seed. He's a sinner just like I am. The Bible says that we come from our mother's womb speaking lies. Tonight I want you to understand that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen to what Paul says, and I'm going to try to wrap this up here shortly. Paul says in this 7th verse, he says, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were healed, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. What shall we say? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of conspicuous. From without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment was ordained to life, and I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." So what is this book about?
It's holy, just as God is holy. We know there that in the first chapter of John, he says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And my friend, this Word is holy. It's God's written Word. It's infallible. It's all truth. That's what Jesus declared there in the 17th chapter. He said, sanctify them by thy word. He said, for thy word is truth. My friend, thy word is truth. Every word in this book is truth. Now, you may not want to believe it tonight, but every single letter in this book is truth. God spoke it to men and they wrote it down. John said in his gospel, he said, I testify of these things. He said, I witness of them. He said, I've seen them. I was there. I can tell you about Jesus because I witnessed him. Now it says that sin slew him. Is the law sin? God forbid, Paul said. But he said, I had not known sin until the commandment came. And my friend, that's the way it was with me. I was just as happy that night as anybody ever had been. My grandmother told me to take the front seat there at Rocky Mount Church. And as that preacher began to preach, I want you to know that something happened and something changed within me. And I realized that I was a guilty sinner in the presence of God. Sin slew me. But I'm thankful for the Word of God. I've got so much more. Listen, I'll read this and I'll be done. You'll be getting us a song. James says this. He said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he is guilty of it all. Lost person, God is our refuge. I'm going to read that one verse and I will be done. God is our refuge. If I can find it. I can't even remember where it said. The Lord is our refuge, our very present help in trouble. Don't run from God, but run to Him. The law of God, as Paul said, is our schoolmaster. But I'm thankful that through faith in the Lord Jesus, that the law, I'm not saying we don't live according to the law. We need to try to do what the law says, but I'm thankful that that's what happened to Paul. He tried to live a self-righteous life. He was a Pharisee. And my friend, I believe in all of my heart as Stephen was standing there and he declared unto them, he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised to the heart. He said, why do you always resist the Holy Ghost? And I believe conviction began to set up in his heart. And as he held those coats there of those that stoned him, I believe he got under conviction. Listen to me tonight. I don't know your heart, but I'll say this. You can search the world over for refuge. When the Lord Jesus returns, the scripture tells me there will be those that will be crying out for the rocks to fall on them. They'll be looking for some kind of refuge. And at the end of that chapter, it says, who shall be able to stand? And my friend, I want you to know the only way you'll be able to stand is if you're standing on the solid rock. Are you standing on the solid rock tonight? This word, the Bible says, is like a two-edged sword. But you want to know something tonight? I'm thankful that it cut me in two. I'm thankful that it pierced my heart. I'm thankful it brought me down to a place that I could see myself for what I am, and I'm a sinner. I'm thankful that it showed me that there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell, and I got concerned about it. And I'm thankful God brought me to a place that I could pray through. I'm thankful for the Word of God tonight. I'm thankful for His holy law, that avenger's on your heels. My friend, you need to seek the Lord. Brother Mike, if you'll get us a song. Person, I want to beg you tonight. Don't seek the Lord, because that's what